Let the Spirit.
Hello, Peter Lynham.
Hello there. How are you going?
Good. We're good. And you didn't get flooded out at your house today?
I didn't, but all of our neighbours on the other side of the road didn't. We had a very exciting morning finding bags of actually fertiliser, which and Zudu, which we used to block neighbours' drives.
Really?
Rescue them. Yes, that was quite a scene.
Wow.
Yes, it was quite fun wading through the water. There we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but we were high and dry where we were, so that's
Good.
Yeah.
Good to hear you're safe.
So,
we're talking about the Russian Orthodox Church, quite topical with what's going on in Ukraine.
Yes, but we're talking about the wider ramifications because, you know, the Orthodox Church is not like the Catholic Church where there's just one head of the church.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the Russian Orthodox Church, and we talked about the Patriarch Kirill or Cyril, who is in Moscow, but there's two other heads or three other heads of the Orthodox churches, all left over from the days of the Roman Empire, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one in the Greek Orthodox Church. There's one in Constantinople, modern Istanbul, and he's the patriarch of the whole show in as much as it's got any unity. And there's one in Jerusalem and there's one in Alexandria. Now, so the Orthodox Church throughout the world is divided into these separate groups. And what's interesting is that even in New Zealand, you get Greek Orthodox churches, you get Syrian Orthodox churches, and you get Russian Orthodox churches, and they have different allegiances. So how they respond to the Ukraine invasion is interesting.
Okay.
The key part of the story is this, that there's enormously powerful forces throughout most of the Orthodox world to want to tell Kirill where to go.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, the Russian Orthodox churches, I mean,
is it the most powerful? Is it the biggest and the most conservative?
No, it's the most conservative and it's the most politicized. But the largest would be the Greek Orthodox, I think.
Okay.
Just because of, you know, historical reasons. And in Australia especially, there's a lot of Greek Orthodox. It's a very significant element.
Mm-hmm.
In New Zealand, too, Greek Orthodox strong in Wellington. In Auckland, we have, I think, four different Orthodox churches in the city. The Russian Orthodox Church sits in Dominion Road behind the Anglican Church of St. Albans, and it's the Church of the Holy Resurrection.
Do you know what their stance is on this whole situation in Ukraine?
Well, that's what I've been trying to find out. Mm. I even read their sermons for the last 3 weeks to try and work out. Not a mention.
Okay.
Not a single mention. We understand that the door of the Russian Orthodox Church was daubed with Ukrainian support statements.
Mm-hmm.
What did you
somebody.
Say you read? You read their sermon? Can you actually go and read churches like...
Yes, you can go online with some churches,
and
in this case, it seemed to be mostly about, because there's a commemoration that Orthodoxy holds for the battle over icons back in the 8th and 9th centuries. So this was the battle about were icons allowed to be venerated. And so that's what the sermon was on when the war broke out, and they didn't deviate towards anything else.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's because they fear they might get a visit from the KGB if they speak against the Russian Empire?
Well, we certainly know that in Amsterdam, all the Russian Orthodox priests strongly opposed the war, issued a statement that they were going to secede from the control of the Russian Orthodox Church. The Patriarch turned up in a car provided by the Russian embassy,
mm-hmm.
And bullied his way into the church, shoved them out of position, and forced prayers to be said for Patriarch Kirill. So that church is just divided right down the middle
mm-hmm.
by sharp opinions. You know, up to 2006, the Russian Orthodox abroad were under completely separate control from the Russian Orthodox in Russia, mm-hmm. because this all stemmed back to the Soviet days, when, of course, most Russian Orthodox were very unsympathetic to the communist regime.
Mm-hmm.
But that was all reunified in 2006 under the previous patriarch.
Wow,
so Kirill, in effect...
It's Kirill, right? He's like ex-KGB and mates with Putin, potentially?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And so he has provided, effectively, the key ideological defence of Putin's invasion.
Mm.
And he's become more and more strident on this. And I was interested to read the story that the Anglicans, for example, tried to appeal to him and had a discussion. And Kirill was sitting there on the Zoom screen. And so was the Archbishop Hilarion. That's an interesting name for an archbishop. Hilarion is Archbishop of Australia, New Zealand, and the Eastern US. And so Hilarion has just parroted Kirill's line.
Mm-hmm.
So that would suggest that the Russian Orthodox churches in New Zealand, see, they'll be owned by a trust which will have direct control, be directly controlled by the Orthodox Church internationally.
Mm.
So they couldn't easily go out on a separate line.
I mean, and Kirill is using a very staunch, the West is corrupt, he's very conservative. There's no room for LGBTQ rights.
His argument is that's right. As far as we can see, one of his key arguments was that LGBT were taking over the Orthodox churches, and therefore seems a little unlikely to think of. And therefore, the Russians had to invade to rescue Orthodoxy in the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting argument, because that could be used for an invasion of Russia or virtually anywhere in the West, couldn't it?
Mm.
So what I think we're seeing at the moment is, I think, a new schism will take place.
Excuse me, what?
In
a schism?
A split.
Okay.
So that, I mean, for political reasons, it'll be impossible for most Russian Orthodox that have got ties back to the pre-Soviet days will be very unsympathetic with the Russian approach. Others are sympathetic. I was intrigued to read on the website of the Russian Orthodox Church here in Auckland that originally it was a very small church with a small membership, but there are now well over 5,000 Russians in Auckland. And so they've got a big constituency, and I imagine that they're sharply debating these issues right at the moment.
Mm. Goodness me, very interesting, Peter.
Yeah, well, it's a really interesting time.
Mm.
I mean, you would like to think that the Orthodox Church could play a role, given that Orthodoxy is the religion of the Ukraine as well as Russia.
Awkward.
You'd think they could work towards peace. But not Kirill. Not Kirill, I'm afraid.
Not interested.
No, not at all.
All right, Peter. Thank you. You go.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, as far as he's concerned, victory is a requirement if you're on God's side.
Mm.
Classic.
Goodness
me. Alas. All right, very good.
We'll speak to you next week, mate. See ya.
Look forward to it.